isn't it the husbandman who is taken away and who is virgin? It's a question. Because it says that I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Because it seems there are two types of believers, really, if we want to make the application here. It appears, and it's a question again. Because it says there are those who are not bearing fruit, and there are those who are. It says, as to every branch in me not bearing fruit, this is what he does. He takes it away. And to everyone bearing fruit, he purges it that it may... More may bring forth more fruit. And it's a question again. I was wondering if we don't see somewhat of the governmental aspect of God in how he deals with believers. They are all in the vine, but yet there are those who are not bearing, and he deals one way, and then there are those who are bearing, and he deals with the other way.
It is not so much the government of God. It's the Father's activity here, strictly. The Father is the one who is the husbandman. But I hesitate to say this. I differ a bit in terms of the opening expressions, he takes it away. Brother Bob, I understand your position. But I differ in the sense that I have always felt that there is a mere... In that statement, there is mere profession that comes to light in that statement, as opposed to reality. And so the Father is the Father who is looking for what is real. He's looking as the husbandman to secure that which produces pleasure, as was the Son here for the Father's pleasure. And so what is not there for the pleasure of the Father exercises his hand in accomplishing the objectives that will satisfy his heart.
By the way, that's a good point. And in
a little louder.
In working on the vine, notice how it is written here. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. The only way to know that is when all the other branches are bearing fruit. And you see one that is brown and withered. First thing you do is snip that and get rid of it. It minimizes that portion of the vine, but it is still connected. And you don't want it there on the vine, so that you can keep your vine clean and uncumbered to make room for the fruit. And so I wonder if we can connect this to what is written in Hebrews chapter 13 concerning the Father scourging us sons. You know, only those who are sons the Father will chastise. Why? Because in them is his interest. In them he can produce fruit. And so every year I go through the process of pruning. And it has to be. Otherwise, the vine will not produce fruit, or as good a fruit.
There's a real lesson, you know, in really looking at the natural grape vine. And I think God is choosing it for a reason. And like Mike said, early on, as soon as the branches come out in spring, you can tell which bear fruit and which won't. And I think one of the reasons for purging is because the branches, where there is no blossom, there's not going to be any fruit. They encumber the vine. They sap it of strength. And God doesn't want just waste of Christ's work on the cross for us. That's cumbersome for the vine. It takes away. God wants fruit. And what will be of no profit, I think faithful husbandman takes away. And if you ever talk to those, the old timers that used to trim the grapevine, the green plants, by hand. They know every one of their vines, and they're very particular how they take care of them. Just modern age, they do it with machines, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about real tender care, so that there be an abundance of fruit. You don't want all the showy leaves that are fruitless and just sap the wine of its strength and burdensome.
Since you're talking about security, maybe it could be helpful if we can elaborate a little bit more about the takes away, because I'm sure it's a question on many people's minds, including my own. Are we saying these are non-believers that are still connected to the vine then?
Especially in connection with the last verse 6, which says, unless anyone abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I mean, clearly there is some language that I know, based on scripture that I clearly understand as a young person, scripture tells me that my salvation is secure, that I am in his hand, and that I can never perish. Yet this verse, I know for that reason, it's not talking about me, the believer. So what are these verses talking about? Is it talking about mere professors who carry on with Christ? I mean, earlier in this chapter, in the Gospel of John, we saw disciples who walked with him no more after a point of time. Even Judas was a disciple who could have been seen as a branch in Christ. But he was never really his at all at any point in time. Judas was not someone who was a believer and then became an unbeliever. There's no such thing. He was never his. So
verse 6 is really unbelievers, isn't it? Even including Judas or any unsaved disciple. There are thousands living in this country. There are millions of unsaved disciples of Christ. They're trusting baptism, or they're trusting this or that. So if there's no reality, if they abide not in the Lord Jesus, but in verse 2, every branch in thee, are you in Christ? Then he lifts up. If you want to say takes away, it's all right with me. But I'm saying, you talk to someone who lives in that area of the world, they'll tell you what they do. They lift it up. They prop it up so it can bear fruit. I like to think of it that way. But anyhow, I wouldn't find fault with any other thought about it.